Hey, it's Pete Williams, author of Cadence, A Tale of Fast Business Growth. I hope you enjoy this preview of the first few chapters. To find out more and to get your own copy, visit cadencebook.com.
This is a story about how to consistently grow your business and how small improvements in just seven key areas will double your profits fast. It's the tale of a business owner and triathlon coach named JJ, who left his stable job as a teacher to fulfill his dream of becoming an entrepreneur. Unfortunately, 2 years after opening his bike shop, Cadence, JJ finds himself in a place that is all too familiar to most business owners, struggling to stay afloat, unsure of what to do next, and lacking a strategic plan to grow profits. His luck turns around once he meets Charlie, a budding first-time Ironman who has hired JJ as his training coach. JJ soon realizes that there is more to Charlie than meets the eye. An experienced and successful businessman, Charlie soon becomes a coach and mentor to JJ as well. Over the course of 20 weeks, as JJ helps Charlie get ready for the grueling Ironman triathlon, Charlie shares his secrets with JJ and helps him drastically change the trajectory and profits of Cadence by using a strategy he calls 10% Wins. While this story is fictional, JJ's experiences are very real for many people who own and operate their own businesses, offline or online, retail or wholesale, product or service. Every day across the globe, more than 27 million small business owners open their doors and feel instant overwhelm and confusion. They experience this silent panic because most of them have absolutely no idea what they need to do each day to grow their business profits. Usually, they try to solve this problem by working longer hours, investing in courses to improve their skills, iterating their product over and over, or chasing the latest marketing trend. Some may even just stick their heads in the sand because the thought of dealing with the problem is too overwhelming, and they don't know where to begin. But action and achievement are not the same thing. Working longer or harder will only help you succeed if you have a strategy behind what you do. Otherwise, all of that effort could easily add up to nothing. This book provides a framework known as the Seven Levers and an action plan you can cycle through to exponentially grow your profits by achieving small, key wins in these seven areas. These are the 10% wins. Loosely inspired by a true story, JJ and Charlie's journey is based on an amalgam of the more than 15 years I have spent in business. As an employee, marketing strategist, and an owner of multiple businesses, online and offline, B2B and B2C, and in everything from e-commerce to catering. Throughout my journey, I've made more mistakes and lost more money than I care to admit. Yet I've been lucky enough to have great business partners and mentors who've collectively added to all my successes. These people and the lessons I've learned inspired the character of Charlie. Whatever is motivating you to create a more rewarding business, I hope you find the tale of JJ and Charlie a catalyst for your own series of 10% wins and a more profitable business cadence of your own. Chapter 1. Falling Behind. Always good to see you, Ted, JJ said as he rang up the last sale of the day, a pair of cycling gloves, and bagged the item for his customer, who had almost gone home with a new set of $3,000 race wheels instead. JJ smiled as he bid farewell to Ted, but the smile faded the minute he stepped out the door. One of the store's regulars, Ted always wanted to stay for a long chat whenever he came in. His visits were always pleasant, but they rarely paid off in terms of sales. But how could JJ say, "No, I can't talk," to someone who helped keep the lights on in the place? With the sound of the register still jingling in his ears, JJ locked the door, turned over the closed sign, and moved back to his stool behind the checkout counter. He opened his laptop and looked at the numbers again. They couldn't be right. He was sure his sales had been on the upswing this quarter, but the figure in red told a different story. Feeling an all-too-familiar knot in his stomach, JJ shut down the computer and grabbed his training bag. Damn it, he was running late again.
If he left right now, he could be at the track just before his training squad arrived at 6 o'clock for their first coaching session of the season. As JJ locked up the store, he felt a cool breeze coming off the beach nearby. Walking through the parking lot to his Jeep, he took the moment to inhale the salty sea air and watch the seagulls flying overhead. The fresh air provided a temporary relief from the stress of the day, but as he climbed into his Jeep, JJ reflected on just how he had arrived at this point. 2 years ago, he had quit his stable but far from lucrative job as a high school gym teacher to try his hand at entrepreneurship. He'd opened Cadence Bike Shop in the hopes he could marry his passion for cycling, especially triathlons, with the lifelong desire he'd had to run his own business. Nobody knew more about bikes and triathlon racing than JJ. He had completed the Hawaiian Ironman World Championships an amazing 5 times. His triathlon training squad had grown through word of mouth to include as many as 37 athletes per season, some of whom he'd been training for years. And he'd become one of the most popular and respected coaches in the area. JJ hadn't always been an athlete. For much of his childhood, he was overweight and out of shape, always falling behind his classmates in gym, and consistently being picked last for team sports. He'd suffered a fair amount of taunts because of his weight, the cruelest of which was a play on his name. "Hey there, PB and JJ," the other kids would shout. That all changed his first year of high school. After spending his summer vacation largely indoors, JJ stepped on the scale at the beginning of his first gym class of the year and was shocked to find he'd gained 20 pounds in just a few months. In that moment, something in JJ's mind clicked, and he knew he had to start doing things differently. When the coach sent him and the other students outside to run laps, JJ stood at the head of the track, shuffling his feet from side to side and staring at the black tarmac that stretched out before him. It looked long, intimidatingly long. "I can do this," a voice inside him said. It seemed to come from out of nowhere, but it was undeniably his voice. "I can do this," the voice repeated. Somehow, the newly sparked fire within him had fueled a determination to change, to leave PB and JJ far behind. And he ran. He'd been an athlete ever since, and ended up joining both the track and swim teams in high school. In college, he discovered cycling, and triathlons quickly became his passion. He loved the solitude of the sport, especially the training, and the feeling that your number one competitor was always yourself. He'd become a teacher so he could help kids find their confidence and get healthy through physical activity, just like he had done. Sometimes, especially on days like today, he missed it and almost forgot why he left. Thinking back on his younger days, JJ flexed his forearms as he gripped the wheel of the Jeep, proud of the way his muscles rippled as he tensed them. But the reverie was quickly interrupted as his thoughts turned back to his business. When he'd been a teenager, he'd worked his butt off to get in shape. And even though it took time, the effort had paid off. Now he was working just as hard. And for what? Lately, it seemed like triathlon coaching, a side gig he'd started to generate extra income while teaching, was more profitable than the sales from his bike shop. Cadence had started out promising. As one of the only specialty cycling stores in town, local athletes had flocked to the place when it first opened, eager to get JJ's expert advice on the latest gear. But now, 2 years later, he'd seen little to no growth, and the store was barely breaking even. He'd hoped Cadence would allow him to generate more income than he'd made as a teacher or coach, that over time, he'd be able to make more money with less effort, and finally, take some time away to spend with his family. But lately, it hardly seemed worth it. He was working more than ever, and the strain was starting to show. Not only was he falling behind on his accounts, with a few key suppliers, but he could see the toll the situation was taking on his wife, Sarah, and their 3-year-old twins, Ben and Emily. Sarah had taken time off from her job as an accountant to stay home with the twins until they started school. but had been forced to go back to work part-time to compensate for the salary JJ had to defer for the past few quarters. She never complained, and she enjoyed working, but JJ could read the concern on her face, and it broke his heart. Starting his own business was supposed to allow him to provide a better life for his family, and here he was, making things worse. JJ forced himself to stop thinking about the store as he pulled into the track. "Things will get better," he told himself. "They have to." A former horse training track that encircled a botanical garden, the 2.4-mile loop was a magnet for the city's athletes and weekend warriors alike. Towering trees kept it shady and scenic, and one side of the loop meandered along the city riverfront, with the downtown skyscrapers forming a backdrop. JJ felt his adrenaline surge as he parked the Jeep and changed into his running shoes. A guy could lose himself in the rhythmic crunch, 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 crunch of his feet against the soft gravel track, leaving the stresses of business ownership far behind for a couple of hours. He knew he'd have to address the issue at some point, tighten his belt, figure something out, but for now, he just couldn't wait to get out there and run. He checked his phone to remind himself of tonight's newcomers. The first session of the season always meant some new and eager faces. He saw three new people on the lineup, two who, according to their registration forms, wanted to lose a few pounds and train for their first competitive event, a short sprint distance triathlon, and one who was training for the grueling Ironman distance, a 2.4-mile swim, a 112-mile ride, and a marathon 26.2-mile run, a 3.86-kilometre swim, a 180.25-kilometre ride, and a marathon 42.2-kilometre run. The track was packed, as it always was on a warm spring evening like this particular Tuesday night. "JJ, I haven't forgotten about you. I'll try and get in this weekend to buy the new helmet and aero bars," a voice called. JJ didn't even have time to turn around before Scott Wilson, a fellow triathlete he knew from the local competitive circuit, flew past him at what seemed like an Olympic sprint pace. Scott had been telling JJ that for months it seemed like he had more supposed sales coming in this week than he'd had actual sales in the past month. Scott was a good guy, but hearing "I'll buy it soon" actually made JJ feel worse. His bank manager wasn't buying that line from him any longer, and neither was Sarah. "How's it going, JJ?" one of his regulars said as he made his way to the usual meet-up spot, where a few of the early birds were already doing their warm-up stretches. "Evening, Tracy," JJ said. "Did everybody have a nice off-season? Looks like you guys are itching to run again." This time his smile was genuine as he fist-bumped his athletes while the rest of the squad filtered in. In all, 20-odd people turned up and stood in a loose cluster while JJ addressed them. "Welcome, everyone." JJ could feel some of the tension of the day release as he eased into his coaching mode. Training motivated athletes like the one standing in front of him always energized JJ, even if just for a few hours. "I'm glad to see some of you have come back for more. For those of you who are new, we're glad to have you." JJ noted the three newcomers among the familiar faces in the crowd. He took note of a tall, dark-haired young man, probably in his early 30s, who clearly had the body of an athlete. "This must be my Ironman rookie," he thought, as he stepped over to introduce himself. "You must be Charlie," JJ said, extending his hand. "Glad to have you on the squad." JJ had a habit of Googling each of his trainees before meeting them, mostly to see if he could get a sense of their level of fitness. Charlie, he'd noticed, had competed in a few local events where he'd posted some decent times. He'd also learned that Charlie was a successful local businessman, having founded two companies and invested in many others. "Maybe," JJ had thought at the time, "I can pick his brain a bit during our one-on-one sessions." It depressed JJ to know just how desperate he'd become. "Glad to be here," Charlie said, an infectious grin spreading across his face. "Your reputation precedes you, so don't go easy on me."
"That's the one thing I never do," JJ said, laughing. "By the time I'm finished with you, you'll be world-class." After introducing himself to the other new athletes, JJ sent the regulars off on a 10-minute warm-up around the track. To motivate and outline the plan for the training, he shared one of his favourite stories with the newbies. "Welcome to the squad," he began. "Before we get into your formal training, I want to tell you a story that pretty much captures my approach to training." He cleared his thoughts before continuing. In 2010, British cycling coach Dave Brailsford faced a tough task. No British cyclist had ever won the Tour de France, cycling's toughest event. But, as the new general manager and performance director of Team Sky, Great Britain's pro team, that's exactly what Brailsford set out to do. His approach was simple. Brailsford believed in a concept that's referred to as the aggregation of marginal gains. 1% margin for improvement in everything you do is how he explains it. Brailsford believed that if the team improved every area related to cycling by just 1%, those tiny gains would add up to a remarkable improvement and maybe even a tour victory. The team started by optimizing the things you'd probably expect: rider nutrition, their training program, the ergonomics of the bike seat, and the weight of the tires. He saw Charlie nodding, his eyes shining. Maybe he's heard this story before, JJ thought. But Brailsford didn't stop there. He searched for 1% improvements in obscure areas that were overlooked by almost every other team. He figured out which pillow offered the best sleep and packed one for each team member when they travelled. He tested for the most effective type of massage gel and taught riders the best way to wash their hands to avoid infection. Brailsford was convinced that if they could successfully execute as many 1% improvements as possible, then Team Sky would be in a position to maybe win the Tour de France in 5 years' time. JJ paused here for dramatic effect. "He was wrong," he continued. "They won it in 3 years." JJ always told this story to new team members because he wanted to emphasize how the combination of small, incremental gains could compound over time, and why results didn't simply depend on how fast you could run, bike, or swim. Everything you did to prepare yourself for race day, from how much sleep you got to your diet and your stress level, affected performance. "It's not just about miles and the legs," he summarized as the trainees continued their warm-up stretches. "Sometimes in life, effort does not equate to outcome." No sooner were the words out of his mouth than JJ thought about his long hours in the bike shop. How ironic. After sending the other rookies off to join the rest of the group for a run around the track, JJ motioned for Charlie to stay put a moment. "So Charlie, you're training for your first Ironman, right?" "That's right, coach," Charlie grinned. Something about the young man intrigued JJ. He carried himself with an easy confidence that suggested there was more to him than met the eye. "That's great," JJ said. "We're going to have a lot of fun. According to your sign-up form, you're registered for the race in New Zealand about 5 months from now, yeah? So you've decided to travel to compete?" "Yeah. I figured since I was going to be spending so much time away from my wife as I trained over the next few months, I might as well use it as an excuse to take her on a great vacation at the end of it. She deserves it, after all." So does Sarah, JJ thought, wishing he could spare some time away from the store to spend more quality time with his wife. "Right, well, that gives us 20 weeks to get you ready," JJ said, shifting his focus back to Charlie. "Why don't you come to my shop on Thursday evening so we can discuss your goals and work out a customized training plan to complement the group sessions? Cadence Bike Shop on 3rd Avenue, right?" Charlie said. "The one out by the beach." JJ was impressed. Clearly, Charlie had done his homework too. "That's the one. Say 5:30? That way I can still make it home for a late supper without upsetting my wife too much." "I'll be there," Charlie said, reaching to shake JJ's hand before loping off around the track. Chapter 2. The Pressure Builds. The early Thursday morning swim session with the squad had run a little overtime, and now JJ was late to open the store. As he searched through his sports bag for the shop keys, he could hear the phone ringing inside. That may be a customer, he thought, as he fumbled with the lock and finally pushed the door open. Once inside, he tossed his bag behind the counter and reached for the phone, but it stopped ringing before he could pick up. After a few seconds, he noticed the red light indicating he had a voicemail. Hi, JJ. It's Julia from Pro Sport Supplies calling. I'm just checking in to see how business is at Bayside's Best Bike Shop. If you're not answering your phone, you must be with a customer. Hope you're selling him one of our bikes. I'll try to call again a little later. Hope you're well. Bye. As soon as he heard Jules' voice, JJ was relieved he hadn't answered the call. ProSport was one of his largest suppliers, and the one to whom he currently owed the most money. He'd already asked to defer his regular 60-day payment for an extra 30 days. But he still had no idea how he was going to make it. He'd known Jules for years, since they both competed in the local triathlon circuit. But today was not the day to ask her for more time. Half an hour later, he was joined by Dale, the youngest of his sales associates, and Matt, the store mechanic and de facto manager when JJ wasn't around. How's it going, boss? Dale called as he removed his bike helmet and headed to the break room to stash his stuff. All of JJ's employees were athletes. Matt and Jess, another sales associate in her early 30s, were road cyclists, and Emma, the other salesperson, was a runner. But Dale was in a class by himself. At just 22 years old, Dale was a semi-pro triathlete and was making a real name for himself on the local race circuit. He had worked at the store since it had opened, and having him on staff had proven useful in getting other area athletes, many of whom were Dale's friends, into the store, since they trusted Dale's expertise on what gear was best. Unfortunately, Dale wasn't all that effective at turning these potential customers into actual customers, and often ended up spending more time talking about triathlons than he did selling equipment to triathletes. It had occurred to JJ on more than one occasion that Dale probably considered his job at Cadence an afterthought next to his training regimen. But he figured having someone like Dale on staff lent the store some extra credibility among the more serious athletes in town. Hanging in there, Dale, JJ said. There was no need to burden his staff with his financial problems at the moment. It's just a seasonal slump, JJ told himself. Things will pick up soon. The season is just starting. The hours passed quickly, even though business was disappointingly slow. 15 minutes to closing time, Charlie walked in the door for the planning session he'd scheduled with JJ the week before. JJ motioned to meet him, but the store phone rang again, so he double-backed and gestured to Charlie that he'd only be a second. Charlie gave him a knowing wink and walked over to a wall full of shiny new time trial road bikes. Hey, Slowpoke, the voice said as JJ picked up the receiver. It was Julia again. She was always ribbing JJ about his race times, but today he thought she might be referring to his payment terms instead. Hey, you, JJ replied, trying not to sound nervous. What's going on? Oh, lots of good stuff, as always, Jules said. Summer's coming, so things are getting busy here at the office. I trust they are for you too. Luckily, she continued before JJ was forced to respond. So, did you get them? Get what? JJ asked, confused. The customer this morning. I assumed you were busy selling a new customer one of our fine steeds when I rang earlier, which is why you didn't pick up the phone. Jules often referred to Pro Sport bikes by names like Steed or Chariot, anything but bike. It usually amused JJ, but not today. Oh, yeah, yeah, JJ replied, not wanting to tell Jules that he had actually been doing his best Mary Poppins impression trying to find the store keys at the bottom of his bag when she had called that morning. As he and Jules traded some small talk, JJ watched Dale approach Charlie, clearly not knowing who he was or why he was there. Dale carried himself like the athlete he was, and always seemed to wear the staff uniform, a Cadence-branded cycling jersey, one size too small so he could show off his toned core. "Need any help?" Dale asked, as lazily and disinterested as he usually was this close to the end of his shift. The longer he stuck around helping customers, the less time he'd have to work out that night. JJ winced at the indifference oozing off Dale, knowing that a successful businessman like Charlie could probably sense it a mile away. "No, I'm just looking around," Charlie said, releasing Dale of his duties. "Cool, man. Well, the sales bikes are on the far wall over there. There are some great bargains to be had. Just let me know if you have any questions." This was Dale's typical cliched approach to sales and customer service. Reactive instead of proactive. As Charlie continued to look around the store, JJ wrapped up his conversation with Jules. "Hey, I'm going to be in Bayside next month. Can I book a time to catch up with you, say 2 p.m. on Thursday the 11th? "Yeah, sure," JJ said, still annoyed at Dale's lame interaction with Charlie. "The 11th is fine." JJ wondered if Jules knew he was uneasy about their phone call. "Fantastic. I'll put it on the calendar. And speaking of calendar, can I pencil in a date to tell Dave when to expect the payment on your account?" There it was. JJ's lips tightened into a straight line. "I can make it by the end of the month. I already talked to Dave about extending my terms this time around." JJ wasn't confident he'd be able to make this payment, but if all else failed, he could put it on the company card. Using a credit card to pay key accounts was a trick JJ's accountant had taught him when he first opened the store. Not only did it help his cash flow by using the interest-free period as a way to extend his credit terms that little bit more, but the reward points he accumulated each year were enough to take his family on a small vacation. It certainly wasn't the dream life JJ had envisioned when he'd become an entrepreneur, but it was better than nothing, and certainly more than he could afford on the profits or lack thereof from the store. "Thanks, JJ. You're the best. By the way, do you know why Dave and the rest of the accounts team don't ride?" "No. Why?" "Because they tend to lose their balance?" Jules laughed at her own joke as she hung up the phone. JJ chuckled, despite himself. JJ hung up the phone and called over to Charlie, who was still perusing the store. "Hey, champ, I'm just shutting the register off. I'll be with you in a second." "Nice shop you got here," Charlie said, admiring a wall of high-end race wheels designed for the serious competitor, complemented by a range of mid-priced bicycles for recreational cyclists along the adjacent wall. There was even a row of kids' bikes. Cycling accessories, clothing, shoes, and helmets rounded out the store's fare. A large flat-screen TV on the back wall ran a slick video loop of high-performance equipment and old race footage, courtesy of a manufacturer, of course. The shop was small, but impressive. JJ knew it. Only one thing was missing: the buzz of customers. "So, what inspired you to become an Iron Man?" JJ asked Charlie, as he turned over the close sign and locked the front door. "It's something I've wanted to do for about 15 years, ever since I really started running long distance," Charlie said. "I promised myself I would do an Ironman before I was 35, so here I am." "That's as good a reason as any." JJ cleared a spot on the counter and pulled up another stool for Charlie. "All right, so let's get into it. As I mentioned at the track, today is about figuring out how to get you where you need to be. When you get to the start line in 20 weeks... After coaching for so long, I've found that doing a quick questionnaire-type pulse check is really valuable to get a sense of where you are now. Do you mind if we start there?" "Go for it," Charlie said, smiling. "You're the boss." JJ launched in. "You mentioned you've done some triathlon before, right? Tell me about that." "Well, when I was in college, I did the shorter sprint distance triathlon races down the coast." "Awesome. What was your best result?" "I came in third in the state championships when I was 19. But I think that had less to do with my bike splits and more to do with the fact that only four people turned up on race day," Charlie joked. For the next 30 minutes, JJ quizzed Charlie about his goals, personal best times, and current fitness levels. It turned out Charlie was a solid swimmer and runner, having been on the swim team all through his school years, and more recently, completing a couple of marathons in just under 4 hours. "Cycling is probably my weakest link," Charlie admitted. "Except for those early sprint triathlons, I've never really cycled competitively or for long distances." That's no problem, JJ said as he reviewed the first three pages of questions. You're starting from a great base level of fitness, so we'll get you there. Just one more question, and I can get started on your training program. How much time and flexibility do you have to fit in all the required training? As much as is required, Charlie responded enthusiastically. This is my number one priority for the next 20 weeks, so whatever you need me to do to get race ready, I'm there. JJ nodded. That's great. But I need to know exactly how many hours I can allocate for your training. Can you do 15 hours a week? 20? 30? Can I have you for 6 hours on a Sunday, for example? He asked this, realizing what a ridiculous commitment that would be, especially for a fellow entrepreneur. Seriously, JJ? Whatever is needed. I can arrange my schedule to be as flexible as necessary. JJ looked incredulous. Really? Don't you run like a bunch of companies? He hadn't meant to blurt this out, but he was legitimately shocked. Sorry, I often do a little internet stalking on my new trainees, so I read a bit about your background. Seriously, dude, how on earth can you fit in 10 hours for training, let alone say you're totally flexible? Well, these days, I find I don't need to spend as much time in the office as I used to when I was starting out, Charlie said. Wow, that must be nice, JJ said, feeling envious and frankly a little depressed. I'm pulled in so many different directions between running the shop, dealing with sales reps, my accountant, the landlord, barely keeping up with accounts payable, overseeing the training squad. I feel like I'm working 27 hours a day, and that doesn't even include spending time with my wife and kids. He broke off, suddenly embarrassed by how candid he was being with a complete stranger. He looked at Charlie, who appeared to be listening closely, which JJ interpreted as an invitation to continue. Sometimes I feel like a vaudeville plate spinner, he said, feeling a little relief at being able to vent to someone. And if one more plate is added to my stack, the whole thing will come crashing down. I know if Cadence were just twice as profitable, life would be a whole lot easier. Charlie looked thoughtful. It's 20 weeks till my Ironman, right? He asked. Yeah. You should be able to double your profits in that time. JJ looked at him indignantly. What? In only 20 weeks? Absolutely. I know 5 months might not sound like a lot of time, but I've seen it happen time and time again, often faster. And I've worked with a lot of business owners. For that matter, I could turn the question around and ask you, only 20 weeks to get me Ironman ready? When I haven't exercised really hard in the last few years and can barely bike up a hill without fainting. If you follow the plan and do the work, I can get you there, JJ said. At least he was confident about his coaching abilities. Exactly, Charlie smiled, as though he'd made his point clear, but JJ didn't follow. Instead of explaining himself, Charlie turned the conversation back to the store. Tell me about your strategy or framework. What are you doing to grow the business? Well, JJ said, we've had a guy doing SEO to get the website to appear at the top of searches for the term bike store. We've done some magazine and local newspaper advertising to increase awareness, and we've sponsored some of the local competitions. We're thinking about... Let me stop you right there, Charlie said. How are all of those things working out for you? JJ wasn't prepared for the question. Well, I think the advertising makes us more visible to athletes and potential customers than our competitors in the area are, and our search rankings have definitely improved. Let me phrase it another way, Charlie said. Have any of the things you've just mentioned increased your sales? JJ froze. He hadn't really been keeping track, though based on the number of customers he'd had lately, he guessed the correct answer was not really. JJ, do you know the difference between tactics and strategy? Charlie asked, taking the pressure off JJ, even if just for a second. Strategy is above the shoulders, tactics are below, JJ joked, raising his eyebrows. Charlie laughed. I like it. I'm stealing that one. But back to my point, SEO, magazine ads, sponsorship, all those things sound sexy, but they're just tactics, things anyone can do to try and drum up sales. Without an underlying strategy or framework behind them, though, they won't get you very far. You need to understand why you're doing them. He paused for a moment as JJ let his words sink in. Think of it this way, Charlie continued. I, just like any of the athletes you coach, can jump on YouTube or a blog and find heaps of cycling tips, running programs or swim workouts, right? Sure, JJ replied, not sure where Charlie was going with this. If I started doing them randomly, a swim session here, a long ride there, would that get me across the Ironman finish line? JJ waited for him to continue. Of course not. We come to you to help put it all together. To make sure we are not too focused on one leg of the race, one discipline. We need a complete overall training and race strategy, of which each individual component and training session is just one part. Sure, the internet does a great job of making all those business tactics uber sexy and convincing you why they're important, but without an underlying strategy or framework, you'll never make it to the finish line. Understanding flickered in JJ's eyes. Go on, he said, leaning forward on the shop counter. The way I look at it, tactics might generate some cash, but strategy creates profit. That newspaper ad or widely shared Facebook post might get you an extra sale here or there, but if you want long-term growth, you need a real plan, something much more purposeful and trackable. Okay, JJ said. So what is it? Well, it's like that story you told us the other day about the British cycling coach. The one about how his team used 1% improvements to win the Tour de France. In that case, the coach made a bunch of small improvements across a wide range of areas, and it paid off big time, right? Yeah, so? Well, the same applies in business, except of 1% wins over a bunch of different areas, you really only need to make 10% wins over 7 different areas. It may sound intimidating now, but it's surprisingly easy once you become familiar with and start executing the framework. Just get a 10% win in a few key areas, and your profits will double, trust me. How do you think I manage to run multiple businesses simultaneously and still have time to train for an Ironman competition? The question hung in the air tantalizingly as JJ looked at his watch. The 30 minutes he had planned to spend with Charlie had somehow turned into 50, and he was going to be late for dinner again. It's been a long day, JJ said, sighing as he imagined missing Ben and Emily's bedtime. Why don't we meet again for breakfast in a few days, after I put together your training plan and strategy? And you can tell me all about these 10% wins. Sure, I'm available, Charlie said. Have you ever been to Jerry's Diner out on East Main? It's a great place to talk business and the food is exceptional. How about we meet there Saturday at 10 a.m? That sounds like a plan, Charlie said. See you then.
Hey, thanks for listening. I hope you enjoyed the preview of the first few chapters of Cadence, A Tale of Fast Business Growth. To find out more and get your own copy, visit cadencebook.com.